I have questions first to get to know you a little bit. Who is here, not just seeing me, but who's here for the first time doing any kind of meditation weekend? Hands up high so I can see. Okay, one, two. Okay, good. Hello. Very welcome. I wonder what brought you here, the letting go of the self or the taking care of the self? We'll see. Both, maybe. So who's here? Because I want to have an idea of what your experience is. Who's been here this kind of weekend, this place or some similar weekend meditation, you know, for a few days like this without a sleepover, maybe four or five times before? Lots of you. Who's done residential retreats? A few residential retreats. Okay. Okay, good. All right. Okay. Okay, that gives me an idea. Thank you very much. So where do I begin? Who's come from further afield than Victoria?
Does Sydney count?
Sydney count? No, Sydney doesn't count. Who's traveled quite far? Okay, where are you from? You two, put your hands up.
Nanaimo,
that's fair distance. Both of you? Lazy Smith. Other people from a little further away, where are you from? Okay, we're all relatively local. Okay. Souk, okay, great. So happy to see you all here, really. Delightful. I'm gonna add a little bit of a housekeeping thing. For those who are unfamiliar, who's never been to Goward House before? A few of you. So there's all this garden area here, and then all in the woods there are a lot of trails. So for walking meditation, we can use all of this space here. What about going across the road?
Yes.
Is it okay to say?
I think it's
so,
yeah.
Watching for traffic, across the road, over this way, just right by our sidewalk, is another whole area that's available to walk in the lawns around. House, big lawns, big space. So for walking meditation, that's fine. And then I would also add upstairs, there is a dining area, and there is a lounge, large-ish lounge, and more cafeteria dining area. And there's even a boardroom back over here. If it really pours, a time, you know, walking meditation is nice to do inside. And some of you might just want to prefer not to go outside every time. But also, I'd like to suggest that for some of you, I think this is a really good idea during the day to take one of the walking periods, because we'll alternate between sitting and walking periods, as we usually do on these retreats, and go upstairs and use some of the space up there to do some yoga, some qigong, some stretching, some, you know, take care of your body in a way that feels like you'd like to ease it or relax it or so on and so forth. So the container of the weekend is continuously to meditate, being present either in walking or sitting, but that doesn't have to be just plain walking. I'm not suggesting you go up and take a break and lie down on the couch and have a little snooze. That's not the invitation. But if you want to do some mindful moving for your body and stay present and practice being present, that's a good idea to do.
And if I could just say, they are in the process of repairing the deck upstairs. So they are supposed to have cordoned it off, but in case they have not, please don't do any walking on the deck. It's stripped and lots of construction up. Thank you.
Please. Sandra, I'll repeat. Sandra was saying that because of the renovation, they're repairing the deck. And so please don't go upstairs and then outside or not use the deck, because we don't know what condition it's in, and we don't want anybody hurting themselves or hurting the deck. Okay. How we like to conduct these weekends it really, really facilitates what we're doing, which is training the mind. It's a time to gently train the mind, which when it's never had any meditation is very unruly, but you can't tell because it's normal for you. But as you begin to train it, you begin to realize it actually doesn't want to be trained initially. It wants to do what it wants to do and go off fantasizing and planning and taking trips to Paris, as I've always been saying for a long time. For some reason, mine likes to go to Paris. So I assume yours does too. And so to help train it to be doing the things I'm teaching you to do, It really is easier to do it when you're silent. It's very hard to be aware of your mind and talking at the same time. Eventually you learn that skill, but initially it's very hard to do. And so we conduct these weekends in silence. And but you can talk with me. You can ask me questions, and if you have logistical questions, of course, ask Sandra. And what I'm going to do is divide the room up into, I think, six, maybe five. Yes, five. One, you can choose which one or two you're in, but two, three, somewhere like that. June, three. And then from you in the green jacket over to over somewhere, maybe you're in that group, four. And then everybody from you over here will be five. That's a reasonable number. And so even though you have had different degrees of experience in that group, I can't be too, it's too many people and not enough time to be sorting it all out. What I'd like to do is meet with you as that group to give us opportunity to discuss your practice a bit more, to ask questions of me about what's going on and so on, rather than just in the big room. And we will meet together in what's called a theater, which is a little room right here through the double doors, and I will tell you when. And that's a room that's big enough to accommodate about this number of people. So during some of the walking periods during the day, I will say, okay, group number one, let's meet in here. Group number two, we'll meet in here, and so on. So I'll meet two or maybe three of you today and the others of you tomorrow. Is anybody here unable to be here tomorrow? So make sure you come today. Two, four. Okay, make sure you come today. Mostly what I'm, well, completely what I'm doing is I'm teaching a two-day workshop. So these two pieces will belong to each other, just for everybody's reference. They're not repeat. 2 days aren't repeated there. We'll practice the same, but the how we practice and what we practice will change over the days. So silence just means no talking on cell phones during the time we're here in retreat and leaving each other alone. And it's sort of peculiar to be close together and not talking. I know it feels odd. And if you're new, it can feel sort of socially unacceptable, you know, people ignoring you and so on. I mean, we can be courteous at doorways and things like that, but I really encourage you to see this as two things, the silence, two things. One, it's a huge relief not to have to deal with people, not to have to respond to them and what's going on with them. Like, really, it's a rare, precious, enjoy it, relish it. It's also very kind to leave people alone, because we like to actually have some space. And so don't feel that you're ignoring or being unkind. Feel that you're actually giving a kind space for people to just do what they're doing, do their own thing, and not have to deal with you. And so from the receiving end, it's a delicious gift. And from the giving end, it's a gift. And so see of it in that way rather than as a rule. You know, it's actually a kind thing. It's really helpful. I would like us all to simply agree that during the time we're here together, packed in here with a bunch of strangers, that we will all be respectful of each other's space, of each other's possessions, of each other's feelings. We'll give space, we'll give respect. We won't take other people's things, and we will not be negative or irritable with people as best we can. We will leave people alone energetically. We won't have crushes on people or vibe people out or give them weird negative messages until, even in the silence, or lustful ones even in the silence. Is this a good idea? These are called the five precepts in Buddhism. And I just would like us all to know we're all here close together and sensitive, and we're trying to be sensitive and tune into how we're feeling. So I want to make sure that we're all taking care of each other respectfully in these ways. And the last one, those are four things I talked about: respecting each other, not taking each other's stuff, not putting any negative or lecherous or any kind of vibes on each other, not being negative or unkind, and also not to be intoxicated here. So no rushing off for a quick little swig of something at lunch or something, or puff of something. Keep our minds pristine for the weekend. Would you all please agree to these behaviors by nodding? Thank you. It just kind of makes the space safe and somewhat sacred, and that we all want to feel. Thank you. Especially among strangers and we don't know each other. Okay. So let's see. We, in this meditation, there's three parts to it, really. There's why on earth would we do it? What's the point? And what's the value? And what does it mean? There is what do we do? What are the actual techniques and practices that we do? And how do we do that? And they're not quite the same thing, because you can do something, but then there's a way of doing it with, you know, different kinds of attitudes and so on, qualities. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And this afternoon, I'll talk for a longer chunk. It's called a Dharma talk. And that's much more about why we do these things and their use in our lives. More the sort of, it's not exactly theoretical, because I'm very practical in the way I teach, but it's more that explanation. So, but the instruction part of it and what we do, we'll do this morning. So you'll have to hold your questions about why on earth you're here till this afternoon. You're here, that's one thing. There must be some why in your mind. Wonder what that is. Okay, so what we're going to do is, there's two very important ways we do this, how we do it. One is gently, but the other is persistently. Because if we're too persistent, we can get too grim and try too hard and get too tight and then not like it and then quit. If we're too gentle, we can be way too slack and way too casual, and it's not possible to train something if you're too loose. We know about, you know, children and you don't give them enough boundaries and all this. So we need the combination of persistent, steady doing what I'm going to say, but in a gentle enough way that it's A, sustainable, and B, doesn't evoke a bunch of stress or tension in you. So that's a very fine balance. How to apply yourself enough and not too much. Patricia, hello. An old friend from Salt Spring I haven't seen for years. So those are very important principles I want you to apply during the day. And only you know if you're working too hard in what I'm teaching you or not working enough. If you work too hard, you'll be getting uncomfortable. You'll be feeling tension. You'll be gritting your teeth somewhat. You'll be pushing yourself. You'll be complaining inside your mind. You'll evoke some doubts. If you're not applying yourself sufficiently, you won't be here. Your mind will be in Paris. You'll be spacing out. You'll be snoring sometimes. You'll be running all your fantasies and all the things you'd rather be doing, and you'll be pretending to be here, but you actually won't be learning anything. So don't encourage that either. We are going to, for this first sitting, let me just say this then. For those of you, even, we're all getting older, we're sitting in chairs. I'm sitting in a chair now too for the moment. With sitting, sit, both even if you're on the floor too, but if you're sitting in a chair, sit so that your seat is back in the chair and your back is away from the chair. So what I want you to do is to have a little bit of an S shape so that there's a bit of a hollow between in your low back. And if you have a spare sweater or something, and you might want to roll it up even, so that your low back is supported rather than slumping back in the chair. The chair's backs are slightly back, and if you lean back on the chair, like the way they're designed, you will be much more in Paris than will do you any good. But if you sit up and put your seat back so that you're not leaning on the chair, if you stick your tail back slightly, you'll find that there's a curve of hollow in your lumbar area, and you can sit up without being so slumped. So that's what I encourage you all to do, sitting in chairs. Sitting down on the floor, you probably already know how to sit down on the floor. But that same angle of the spine makes a huge difference to being present. We mostly practice this with our eyes closed. It's not a rule. You can have your eyes be slightly open if you like, resting low. So come to that posture. Adjust your legs so that they're comfortable. Adjust your arms so that they're resting on your lap, on your legs, on a cushion in your lap. You can hold your hands or you can rest your hands on your legs. Want to have a bit of an openness in the front of the shoulders so they don't want to be too far forward. Think of your spine as a living thing like a plant that's got an uprightness to it, that's growing upwards to the sky. So it's not tensing it, but there's a kind of liftedness in it. It's not slumped, in other words. And at the top of your spine, float your head. Just adjust it a little so it feels slightly light. And then draw your chin slightly in and lower your face a little. So the back of your head is, the energy is going up the back of the head and down the front. This extends the neck and reduces discomfort in the neck. It's also called the position of mild surprise. And that's good for the spine and helps with the sitting. Now, relax your face. And for a few moments, tune into sitting in this room. Feel the room through your senses. Sense the space around you, the size of the space, the height of the ceiling, the kind of floor. We can sense this. We know we're not sitting in a field or in a forest or on the side of the road. Be aware of the temperature of the room. Be aware of your neighbors around you. All these people who have agreed to be careful with themselves and with you for the weekend. Hear the sounds, the background sounds, the various discrete sounds human bodies make. Orienting yourself to being present is what we're doing. You're here and you're using your senses to locate you here. Now locate your body in space, the position it's in, how your limbs are, what's bent, what's touching what. Be aware of the cushion underneath you, the bench, the seat of the chair, whatever it is that is around you that you're in contact with. Feel that uprightness in the spine and the floating of the head, and check these things often. And now, how is this body of yours that you're in today? How's it feeling? Come home into your body. Now take a few moments in your face, aware of your face. Meditation shouldn't have any frown lines. Can you widen your eyebrows away from each other slightly so there's no frowning? And can you soften your brow right across the brow so there's no frowns at all? And now can you soften any holding that your eyelids are doing around your eyes? We actually often have tension holding our eyeballs in. They don't fall out even if you relax. Soften all around the eyes. Relax them. It's amazing how much tension we tend to hold all around the eye area. Relax it. Come down your cheeks and be aware of the jaw, another area where we hold so much tension. Soften and relax all around your jaw. Even move the jaw. Open your mouth a little bit. Soften the grip. And rest with your jaw, with your rows of teeth not quite clamped together, not quite touching. And with your lips just soft, gently meeting. Notice what your tongue is doing. Can you rest your tongue? And you can even relax the chin. See if you can experience a sense of wideness across your face. When we're tense, it's like the features all draw together in the middle, and when we're relaxed, they fall apart somehow. Make more space in the middle of your face. Floating the head, keeping the chin slightly lowered. And come down to your shoulders. And relax the shoulders down, another major area of tension, holding, hunching. Lowering your shoulders and bringing them slightly back, so there's a bit of an openness in the front of the shoulders. Not stiffly, but softly. Make sure your arms are resting comfortably. Just let them hang there comfortably. Your hands. Soft hands. Feel your hands. Feel what they're touching. Are they warm? Are they cool? Relax them. They feel just as much when they're relaxed as when they're tight, busy. Let them hang on your lap, loose around the wrists. And bring your awareness down over the chest into the abdomen. And you can relax all around your abdomen, your stomach. And down further. Make sure your legs are loose in your hips. They're hanging there. They're resting there. If you're doing any holding of your legs, release that hold. So now you're in a body that hopefully is upright in a light, energetic kind of upright way, but that's also relaxed. Now relax a little bit more where you tend to tense up. Relax again. But stay noticing your tension and its absence. Keep being very aware of this all the time you're practicing. Relaxed without slumping. And you'll begin to realize that the most interesting, active feature of sitting relaxed and upright is the movement of your body as it breathes. The moving of your abdomen and stomach, because the diaphragm's going up and down. We can't feel the diaphragm going up and down, peculiarly, but we can feel the abdomen swelling and unswelling. We can also feel the general rib cage expanding and contracting under our arms, out into the back, up in front. Tune into this expanding and contracting rhythmic of the rib cage. Abdomen moving, rib cage moving. We can't feel our lungs, but we can feel the ribs. We can mostly feel the tightening and loosening of our clothing as the ribs move. More nerves on the skin than inside. And now coming further up, notice yourself breathing. See what you can notice in the, through your nose, sometimes your throat. Can actually perceive the air flowing in and out. A lot of nerves in the nose compared to the ribs. Can you feel the flow of air moving in and out through your nostrils? So spend the rest of this sitting until I ring the bell, noticing, observing any of the things I just talked you through. Moving from one to another, just observing, quietly being aware. And making sure you can keep relaxing the ones which get tight. And but checking every so often that you haven't slumped your whole spine. And the main thing you'll keep coming back to is the main thing that keeps on going all the time is this breathing, this movement of breathing. So choose one of those three areas, your abdomen, the whole chest, including front, back, or the nostrils and the air streaming in and out, as a place to, as a home base, really, to come back home to. When you finish noticing the various other aspects of sitting quietly in a body, in a room. Training your mind to stay with your experience that's really occurring in this moment, present. Not telling stories, not Paris, not yesterday, not tonight, not fantasy land, but this. It's very simple, very quiet inside. Persistently and gently. Some people find it helpful to add a little whisper of the commentary. Our minds are often talking. So use the talking part of your mind to say to yourself, in, out, all the way in, all the way out, or come here, stay here, to synchronize your attention with your breathing in and out. Some people whisper to themselves, relax, relax, or something like that. Very light touch, but it can help connect you to your present experience. Experiment. Check that ratio between being relaxed but being upright. If you get squirmy or uncomfortable, relax, relax. If you're everywhere but here, sit up a little more upright. Float your head. Again, reorient yourself here in the room. Just briefly, notice the sounds, company around you, the room. And your body. And relax. Nothing to do. No job to do. Nothing to remember right now. Just relaxing into the simple being present. Come here. Calm down. Unclench any clenching in the jaw, unfrowning, floating the head.